This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Dystopical. Katie and I are in the studio this evening with a couple of amazing musicians, so it's going to be a really great show, a little bit different from our usual style. We're calling it Dystopical Unplugged.
It actually looks like a music factory in here tonight. I'm quite happy to be here.
I know. There's musicians. There's actual instruments. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, it's true. It makes me jealous.
All right. So hello, Leah. Hello, Jane.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Katie, you want to tell us a little bit about who we've got in the studio this evening?
All righty. I'm going to start off with Leah. He's
Leah,
blushing already.
Leah's got her hands over her eyes.
Little Leah and I grew up together. We've known each other for a very, very long time. She's kind of part of my family. And I love her dearly and I love her music dearly. And it's been such a wonderful experience to see her grow from the little kid trying to play her father's guitar at our family gatherings.
That's not condescending at all.
To actually, oh, she was so cute though. So cute. And to the wonderful woman that she is now with two beautiful kids and an amazing artist. So welcome, Leah.
And thank later you. We'll ask you about how you juggle all of it, the musician-ness, the motherhood-ness, but yeah.
She's like the juggler of the century, this woman. And to my right, we have Jane Lilford, who has recently been on The X Factor, Jane.
Yes. I have been on the X Factor. What an experience that was.
I can only imagine. We'll talk about that a bit later. Jane is an up-and-coming artist who's launching herself in Melbourne over and over again, and we'll be playing at a few places around, and is definitely a name to look out for. Luckily enough for us tonight and for you guys out there, we have the girls. They're actually playing live in the studio tonight, which is something we haven't done on Dystopical, so it could go really well. Or
it could go really, really wrong.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
It's not going to be mediocre.
No, not at all. We don't do mediocre here. We either do it really good or really wrong. I guess we'll kick off with you can contact us with the show and let us know if you like what you're hearing. You can text us on 0427JOY949. Or you can Facebook us at Dystopical, which is DYSTOPICAL. Or you can email us at one of our 4,000 email addresses. I'll give you two of them. dear.dystopical@gmail.com or dystopical@joy.org.au.
That's right. So if you want to know where these women are playing at some point, if you want to know how to get a hold of their music, or if you want to tell us about your own musical experiences, whatever they might be, get in touch with us. But before we start talking to the girls about their music, we've just got a couple of songs for you.
Okay, welcome back to Dystopical. First up there, we had Angus and Julia Stone's cover of You're the One That I Want.
That was amazing. I thought it was really good.
It is a beautiful song. I think it's a much better one than the original. Basically, tonight, with the music that I'm doing, I've done a bit of a mix-up with people covering other people's songs that are a little bit to the different side. And the second one was Romeo and Juliet, which was actually by Lisa Mitchell, the original by Dire Straits.
Nice.
Segue into Jane sitting on my right over here. Lisa Mitchell grew up not far from you.
Yeah, Aubrey.
Yeah,
is that right? That's right.
Right.
I'm forgetting memory then. She did too.
How good was my segue?
Yeah, well, it's country girls, see?
Yeah, so you grew up where?
Kyabram. Yeah, look out.
I don't think I've ever been there or close to it. Even.
Well, I actually had to Google where it was. Well, my girlfriend's sitting next to me going, oh, Kyabram.
And then they think Cobram. And it's sort of, if you go smack bang between Shepherd and Echuca.
This is it. My girlfriend goes to Echuca every year and she's like, oh, yeah, I've camped at Kyabram, but I didn't remember. So
that just goes to show how memorable it is.
So how did you get started out in Kyabram?
Well, you know, being a singer now, it was always something that was really natural.
Yeah.
So it really didn't matter where I grew up, I think. It was just something that came through me.
Yeah.
And saying that, even though it's a small town, the possibilities inside that town are huge.
Yep.
So there's the singing school that I taught at, which also teaches guitar, anything that you can think of, yep, really within the performing arts.
Was, yep, it encouraged at the school that you know went to? Do they foster musicians and, you know, music and all that kind of stuff, or was it
not pretty... particularly? Mm. It was just if you have a talent,
yep,
then they'll, you know, hone in on you, but, yep, not specifically music.
Mm.
So, you know, with that, there'd be productions, and then I would never have to audition for anything, which really sucked, you know, because a, yep, lot of it was like, you're the one singer in our school, so let's work with you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, tiny town, but really a lot of talent comes out of there.
Yeah.
So there's Ryan Meeking. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah.
He's from Kyabram as well. Mm. He's doing a really good job at the moment of getting out there.
Ryan, and I believe that you started a band while you were in Kyabram, if my research,
yes,
serves me
you
well.
You are onto it.
Mate, I'm onto to you. So how did you go with the band? You guys got a bit of Triple J Unearthed,
yeah,
action
really
going
good
on. Yep.
It was very fast, you know. It was sort of like I they're great friends of mine. They were called Suspender, but Suspend Her,
yep,
was the name. I had a couple of originals that were sort of empty,
yep,
just with me and the guitar, so I went, let's do this band thing.
Yep.
Quickly, sort of the first four songs that we wrote went 1, 2, and 3 on Unearthed.
Yep.
Mm.
And sort of had this really quick and then fizzled out sort of career.
The way the biz
so,
goes.
Oh, isn't it just? You know, you got to feel your way through things.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I'd never worked in a band before.
Yeah.
And the two boys, they're in another band called Black Acid. Now, they're really metal orientated.
Yeah.
And fantastic at that.
Yeah.
So there was sometimes a clash, but then sometimes, yeah, that acoustic with this sort of metal-y sound was a little bit different.
Bit of a mash.
Yeah, it was a mash. So, yeah, it was good while it lasted, and like I said, a really good learning curve, and I love all the guys dearly. But and then I moved to Melbourne, so the travelling back for 2.5 hours was just not happening.
Mm.
Going back to Coabram for a weekend.
So did you move to Melbourne to, you know, to sort of make a move on your musical career?
Yeah, absolutely. It got to the point where it was like there's only so many gigs that you can do around the area that you live in. Before.
So many locals.
Yeah, before you're sort of doing the same places and you're not really getting anywhere. People love it, you know, because they're all keen down there for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Melbourne was throwing ourselves into the real world, you know, which obviously didn't work for the band.
Yeah.
But I stayed.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
And have continued to try and just push my own.
Do your own thing, push your own boundaries.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing lately, and has your music sort of changed from the move?
I think lately I've been really trying to concentrate on myself as an artist and what I am. I sort of write really sparse, so I can go from like a poppy sort of song to something acoustic, and I've found it hard for myself trying to find my niche, where exactly I fit.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm still working through that, and X Factor was a little bit of a way to throw myself into the industry to see if I like that.
Yeah.
And then maybe come back to myself and find out what's real about me and what I want to take from that experience to become a better artist.
That's fantastic.
So are we allowed to talk about the X Factor?
Oh, look, we can have a chat. It's part of who
we will.
I am.
So we will.
Yeah, we will. I reckon we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah, great.
To the
Leah.
Hi.
Leah was not born in Kyabram.
No.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about where you were born, Leah?
I was born in Tuvalu, which is north of Fiji in the Pacific, and it's got a tiny population of about 12,000 people.
Is that smaller than Kyabram?
Sorry?
Research 12,000. Lady, what's the
Do you know what my girlfriend turned around to me today and said you should research what the population of Kyabram is, and I'm like, don't be a moron. She's sitting at home going, oh, I told you. So grew up in Tuvalu, and then how old were you when you came over here?
I was 2 when I first came here, and then I went back when I was 6 and did a year of primary school there.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Remember that well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty devastating when I left.
Yeah, it was. I was devastated. And your parents, so musical background?
My dad plays, and my brother
Your dad
and
plays what?
He plays guitar and sings.
Yep.
And I guess when I go to Tuvalu and say I sing, they're like, so what?
Because everyone sings. There are a lot of places where everyone just sings or plays a musical instrument.
It's just really, it's really cool. It's like breathing.
Yeah, whereas coming from my very white family in Australia, it was so exciting to have Lee and her family over for our family gatherings. When Coletta walked through the door with his guitar, everyone would get so excited and think, yeah. So a bit of background on you. Tell me about the Apollo Bay Music Festival. We're going back a bit here. Wow. I've done a bit of research on you, Leah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So you won a few awards there, didn't you?
I did. I think when I was maybe 14 and 15.
Yep.
I won back-to-back.
Yeah.
Our Songwriters Award one
Songwriter
year.
And Performance Award, I believe. I love the fact that I know you.
You know more about me. You're like the best stalker ever. in a non-creepy
way. I've seen videos. We're family, man.
Yeah, I did. I actually won a great prize. I won, I think, a $1,000 voucher for a music store in Geelong, and I bought my first guitar, a little baby body Fender. I was pretty happy with that.
Cool.
How old were you when you first picked up the guitar? Because I know Coletta, your father, was a massive influence.
Just probably, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing guitar in the school band when I was probably 12.
Yeah.
That was probably the first time I performed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And how did you know that was going to be something that, or did you know at that point that's something you really wanted to pursue?
She was destined, trust me.
I think it just seemed like a really normal thing to me. It wasn't that big a deal. But when I was 12, I went to the Port Fairy Folk Festival and I saw Arnie DeFranco play and also the Waifs, and they were really young. And Titus and a few other amazing bands. And
many a good year had
I
there.
Just went home and went, right, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. So yeah. When I was 12, I just decided that it was definitely going to be part of more it was the songwriting that really captured me. And since then, I've been writing songs.
And you've changed so much as an artist. Like, you've released an album. You went overseas. You have. You released an album. You went overseas.
I did.
Was it in the UK that you recorded your album?
Yes.
And you love that album now.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. look, I went over. I was probably 21 when I went over, and I dragged my young family over. My older girl was 18 months in. And, it was a really good lesson in just sort of, I'm pretty easygoing, and learning that my music isn't something I can be really easygoing about was a pretty big and expensive lesson.
Yep.
But, I definitely know what I want now.
That's fantastic. Well, I've heard some of your new stuff that you let me listen to in the beer garden the other week, and I was only allowed to listen to about 10 seconds of each song in a headphone because she got a bit shy. Now, can I just ask you about something? Look, I know that you are really passionate about the environment. You're a very easygoing girl, and there was quite a big stage there for a year or so where you were constantly Facebook updating about the environment campaigning and stuff like that. Yep. Can you tell me a bit about, I know that you actually met and you opened for the Shared Nobel Peace Prize winner and Australian of the Year, Professor Peter Doherty, in the Festival of Ideas for Climate Change and Cultural Change. I think it was in 2006, according to my research.
Yep.
Which I saw the video of today. It's actually a really good lecture, guys, out there.
It's pretty amazing.
How was that to play to such a different audience? Like, because they were suits.
I'm really intimidated by suits and also academics. So it was pretty full on. And I guess when I was doing a lot of environmental stuff, I'm a really palatable, small brown, you know, very good English.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of am a sort of great candidate for being the poster child for, you know, climate change. And I sort of enjoyed that for a while and then I sort of didn't enjoy it quite so much.
Yep.
It was a pretty amazing experience, and the talks that were given that night were incredible.
Yeah, Pete's talk was amazing.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty laid-back guy.
Oh, so lovely. Yeah.
He's pretty big in the
I had sweat dripping out of my palms. I was sitting backstage with him. They're all drinking champagne, and this is like the Dean, Chancellor, whatever. Yep. All the top, you know, people from Melbourne Uni, and yeah, it was terrifying.
But you got through, and I did. I'm sure you did an amazing job.
The song that you sang was beautiful. Should we cut to a few more songs? And when we come back, we're going to get the girls to play a couple, or Jane's going to play a live song, and Leah's going to play a couple tonight. So,
and we'll still keep interrogating you about your lives. Definitely. Don't worry. It's not over quite yet.
Can we, before we go, Farine, can we send out a heartfelt hug to Kat, who's not with us tonight?
Yes, of course.
Who's sitting at home, moping on the bed, feeling sick and sorry for herself. So, Kat, don't worry, Farine got the traff. And we hope you get better.
All right, awesome. Now, we're just going to... Oh, you're going to introduce the music after this.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, I'll do it after.
Of course you are. All right, here we go.
Welcome back to Dystopical. First up there, we had... I just have to remember. Are You That Somebody, which is a cover by The Gossip, and originally done by Aaliyah, who was the artist that was tragically killed in a plane crash.
Yeah, a while ago, actually.
Yeah, it was quite a few years ago. And the second song was Addicted to Love, of course, the original by Robert Palmer, but that was actually by Florence and the Machine, which had everyone in here guessing who it was because it sounded so familiar.
You got some really interesting songs with some great cover artists. You're on fire tonight.
I am on fire tonight, yeah. I like to impress. All right, so everyone out there, we are lucky enough to have two beautiful ladies in the studio, Jane and Leah. Jane's going to perform for us now. Jane, do you want to tell us what the song's about that you're going to perform?
The song that I'll be singing is called San Francisco, which is quite explanatory of what the song is about. But I wrote the song with the intention of I'm going to San Francisco next year. Mm. I don't particularly know why. It's just been something that is like a calling. I think I feel really rooted to the 60s and that sort of thing. I think it's the hub of where it all started to happen.
Yeah.
And I sort of want to throw caution to the wind and stand on the corner of Castro with my little hat and play my songs and, you know, just be a flower child for a whole of, like, 2 weeks, if that, and then come back.
Gonna
with
get your flares on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, why don't I rock that look? But, no, I'm excited about it. And I think so I just wrote the song really just going off that feeling.
How long ago did you write this song?
Probably about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, just before everything happened with X Factor, because I should be in San Francisco now. So everything went on hiatus and me and my partner decided that both that's where we need to be. And then I just sort of just came up with the song. It wasn't anything I tried to do and it was probably something that I'd usually put in a backlog of my music.
Yep.
But it seems to people like it, I think, because it's quite warm opposed to some of the more emotional stuff that I do sing.
Cool. Well, we're ready to hear it. So, everybody, this is Jane Lilford doing San Francisco.
San Francisco, I'm coming. Some say I'm running, but it's only to myself. Ooh. San Francisco, I'm hoping you'll save me, or somehow just make me. 'Cause I'm needing your help. And my bags are all packed, at least the ones in my mind. And I'm running to you 'cause I can't deny San Francisco, I'm coming home to you. San Francisco, I know you're still waiting to free my soul and your being. But first I gotta do it myself. Ooh. Now I'm warming up to the feeling, and I'm lost in the knowing of the realest thing I've
failed. And my bags are all packed, at least the ones in my mind. And I'm running to you, cause I can't deny. A city that speaks like a ghost in my mind. And I'd do anything for that place in time. In San Francisco. San Francisco, San Francisco, I'm coming home to you. Oh, 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 I'm coming.
That was brilliant.
That was such a surreal experience having live music in the studio.
I know, it really worked.
Thank you so much, Jane.
Oh,
that
not
was
a problem.
Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you for letting me have a sing of one of my little songs.
Do you feel like your nerves have gone now?
Oh, no. I feel like, you know, once you, which you'd understand as an artist too, once you sing one song, it's like, let me sing about four others and I'll be at my peak.
Yeah.
I'm just warming up. And, but yeah, but no, fun. You know what I mean? It's a great experience to actually get on the radio and sing and...
Excellent.
Our little intimate room.
It is. Our laid back intimate room.
Yeah, sound great.
I'm digging it.
Mm. Now, Leah. Leah, the last time that you played a song for me, you wrote for my father for his 60th birthday and had me crying like a child.
Yeah, you're blubbering like a baby.
Yeah, I was. It was a very emotional experience. There actually wasn't one person in our backyard that wasn't crying that night or that day. So what are you going to sing for us today that hopefully I'm not going to blubber like a baby too?
I don't think you'll cry.
All right, cool.
This one is called No Harm, I guess. Yeah, all my tracks at the moment. I'll just tell the whole story.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
That's what you're here
so
for.
So about 5 months ago, I had a complete mental breakdown.
You did.
I did. It was. I don't do things in halves. It was
not at all.
Pretty fucking epic. Anyway.
It was a great coffee date we had during that.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, it was insane. And, yeah, so I ran around just trying to fix myself and... then I ended up in hospital with probably a stress-related popping of an ovary or something like that. Anyway, it was pretty bad. Anyway, so I ended up in bed for a month and a half recovering and trying to do very little. So I started writing this album and, it just came out so easily.
Yeah.
And then at one point I decided I needed a cello and it was cheaper to hire a cello than it was to get a cellist.
So since I've been in Melbourne last, this is a new thing. So when did you actually pick up the cello, Leah?
About 2 months ago, two and a half months ago.
Yeah.
I'm a very apologetic cellist.
There's no need to be apologetic. We can't wait to hear you.
Anyway, so this is one of the songs off the album and it's called No Harm.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. This is Leah.
If you want a good girl, keep her for a short time. And if you want a longer, she can make her words wise. She means no harm. Try to tell that to the harm done. If you want some answers, she'll reply so sure. Excuse and explanation, but the two amount to zero. She means no harm, but try to tell that to the harm done. She means no harm. Try to tell that to the harm done. And if you want to be the man to bring this woman home, you
bet I have a good heart and a solid backbone. And if you want to be the man to bring this woman love, you bet I have a good heart and be made of the right stuff. If you want a lover, she's a whole harem in one. Sultry vixen, sweet little sugar plum. She means no harm, but try to tell that to the harm done. And if you want to be the man to bring this woman home, you better have a good heart and a solid backbone. And if you want to be the man to bring this woman love, bet I have a good heart and be made of the right stuff. If you want a good girl, keep her for a short time. And if you want a longer, she can make her words wise. She means no harm, but try to tell that to the harm done, the harm done, done, the harm done, done.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
You get me every time, right in the heart. Thank you so much. That was absolutely beautiful and so interesting to see you play a different instrument now. Leah, what can we ask you a question about? You've got two beautiful children.
I do.
And they really are beautiful. They're the cutest little things. One of them is a mock parrot at the moment who copies everything that I say whenever I meet her. And the other one...
Remember, it's flattery. It is. Not annoying.
No. It was wonderful. And the other one has just started school.
She has.
So you've got a bit of free time during the day there. Not really. No. How do you juggle? Well, at the moment, I guess you're relaunching yourself with the cello and, you know, doing new things. You've put the album out quite a while ago and you're thinking of putting the new album out at some stage in the future.
Yeah, I'd say it'll be out by the end of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all been written. It's just got to be rehearsed. We're recording it live in a church, so it's going to – we'll smash it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah.
How do you juggle doing all of your music and everything with having two little ones?
I guess I have really no expectations at all of music. I just feel really lucky to get up every now and then and perform, and I really like working with other people. And it's just fun. So it's not, I don't put a huge amount of pressure on myself for it to be successful, which allows me to keep it fun. And actually my two kids helped me write a lot of this album, directly and indirectly, but they've got a little play piano and also some ukuleles, and they both sing harmonies. So often I'd get them to sort of play a little hook while I, you know, strummed my cello. And they were really helpful.
That's very cute. Are you going to record them on the album at the church?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
It's your time to shine.
We're recording from midnight till 5 a.m. in the morning because a tram goes past and we don't really want the tram to feature on the album.
It's very Melbourne though.
It's going to be great. Yeah. I think maybe we'll get one tram just for fun.
That's great. Now, Jane.
Yes.
X Factor. Let's have a chat. I'm sure everyone's interested in it.
Katie?
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
And I didn't tell you this before we went on to air. The day that you tried out for X Factor, did it happen to be the day that the footy was on next door?
I don't know.
And Essendon were playing Footscray, because I do believe that I was in Melbourne. It was round one and I was embracing my butch side with my girlfriend at the footy, and I had to park the car and I went past the X Factor auditions, and I do believe I actually saw you out the front.
Oh, well, there you go. Was it a Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, look out. talk about the stalker. Shaking
her head over. You've actually been planning this show for years.
It's really funny because I walked past, and you know, everyone, all the lesbian women out there know that you have a gaydar.
Yeah,
and I saw totally. You, and I walked past, and I'm like, get gay on the X Factor.
Yeah, gay on the X Factor. We represented this year, speaking of X Factor and gay, there was a whole good bunch of us in there, you know, representing.
But that's not the reason why you went on. So why did you decide to embrace this whole sort of live reality TV show type thing?
Such a different experience, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially being a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
I had, when I was back in Kyabram, I was teaching at a studio called Dilmac, and, you know, the kids, they're so gorgeous, and you're sort of all that they've heard and whatnot, and they were all like, oh, why don't you go on, you know, why don't you go on The X Factor, why don't you go
on you're
on
Idol?
Yeah, and I got that for 10 years, you know, so as soon as Idol came out, it was every year, it was like, oh, have you thought, you know, and it even got to the point where my dad was like, oh, I'd give you $500 if you just tried.
Yeah.
And, because, you know, they'd watch the show year in, year out going, oh, Jane could be up there, blah, blah. So realistically, I think when, and the producers asked me this, why did I do the show, it was for everybody who ever thought that I could.
Yep.
It was also for myself and everybody who ever thought that I couldn't.
Yep.
Because there has been such a stunt in my music. Yep. Trying to find out who I am and not getting out there and touring that with that, and then suddenly realising that's not me.
You got to reinvent yourself.
So I sort of kept really disclosed for a long time. So I decided that I'd have a go, you know, and lo and behold, I honestly didn't think that I'd get to the point that I did. And I think that's because I went in there with no expectation.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, yes, I'll go and audition and now you can all just back off and leave me alone.
Dad, where's my 500?
Yes, Dad, where is my 500? And my girlfriend was just really supportive, you know, and was like, I know that you actually want this and I'm not going to let you not go. So the morning of the audition, I was still like, I'm not going.
Yeah.
She's like, yes, you are. And that was actually held at the Moonee Valley Racecourse. So there's three auditions before the one that you saw me out in front of, the one that's in front of the judges. And, you know, it was
so there's almost three rounds before you get to the judges themselves.
And that's producers. So you go executive producer, producer, executive producer, maybe there's two. It's all a big blur now.
Yeah.
And then you get the call back saying, yes, you've made it, you're on this day. And so I got that and was a little bit overwhelmed. Oh, actually, you know what? I was stoked that I was going to meet a Spice Girl. And that's just the honest truth in it. I was like, yeah.
That was a scary Spice, Mel B. You performed in front of, I believe. Yeah.
So, and like, that was rad, you know, sort of stepping out there and having them all sort of look at you like, oh, what are you going to do? And then I said, I'm singing Adele, Rolling in the Deep. And
big song.
Yeah, Guy Sebastian, that's what he said.
Yeah.
And rolled his eyes, sort of went, oh, well, you've set yourself up here. And then I just sang it. And, you know, just being on High Sense for that 2 seconds and the crowd, you know, the noise and the change in the judges' faces and then the comments after that was just something that to date will be the most special thing that's happened to me. I know it's not the avenue that I wanted to take with my music, but when you have people like Mel B and Ronan Keating telling you things like, why aren't you signed, and you're my kind of girl, and really embracing who I was and not just looking at me as someone marketable.
That's right.
That was special.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, did you tell the producers, were you open about your sexuality?
Yeah.
I need to commend you on that. A long time ago, I don't know how old you are. How old are you?
I'm 28.
28. All right. So there was this chick around Marie Wilson quite a few years back. I don't know if you remember her. She was pretty big in Melbourne.
Did she sing the bitch song?
No, that was Meredith Brooks. Marie Wilson, look, she did the gay circuit for quite a while and she was a gay woman, and then she made it commercially and she pretty much dissed the gay community and wasn't very open and honest about who she was because it, you know, it wasn't the thing to do back then. So I'd like to commend you on that because I think there's a real change in music with gay women actually being able to say, hey, I'm gay and I play.
Is this
that was on the fly.
And is this a big issue for you? Like, does it feature in your music? Does it feature in, like, your musical career where you're going?
And I think that's the boundary that I'm trying to break down, is that it's not – I'm not – gay and then Jane.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm Jane and I'm a singer-songwriter yeah. and being gay is just a part of yeah. who I am. Just like no one introduces himself as, I'm Fred, I'm straight.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
That,
yeah.
that doesn't happen. That. Yeah. So, and the producers really tried to, oh, you know, Jane, you're openly gay, so how was
play
that
on the gay
town?
Factor.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, it was rad, you know, everyone loves me back there and it's not. So yeah. they couldn't get the things that they wanted. They
yeah.
couldn't. They couldn't find a story within me being gay because yep. I don't think
what,
it is
what
a
kind
story.
Of, what kind of story would have been more marketable to them, like angry lesbian?
I think so.
Okay.
You yeah. know, or I don't know if they wanted to see the hardship, to see that gay people still struggle. And I understand that there is a you know,
yeah, definitely.
That happens, yep. but we've got to normalise this.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that taking it in as a tag of who you are
yep.
was anything that had anything to do with me singing.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, yeah, I'm openly gay. I'm going to talk about my girlfriend. I've yep. got my parents and everyone who loves me here.
Yep.
It's just such a, it's such a small, small part of who I am.
Yep.
And so I didn't want them to hone in on that.
Isn't it funny that it's such a small part to you but such a big part to everybody else, like
well,
people
yeah.
that aren't used to the, having
it? You know,
it? Yeah.
it's like I just don't think that my sexuality has got anything to do with
well,
music.
It doesn't affect the way that you sing.
No, that's right. I mean, unless I was getting up there and having like a real butch go at, you know,
yeah.
like Peaches a bit dirty and
yeah.
that. But
God, I no, love Peaches.
But, you know, that's not my angle. And like I said, yep. it's such a small part of who I am.
Yep.
And it's a massive part of my, I'm in the community, obviously, yep. but I just don't think it needs to be, oh, she's gay.
You Look know? Out.
You don't go, want yeah, that I'm to gay. Be the reason why, you know,
people come
oh,
to see
no.
you. Yeah.
You know, I want them to like my music and then I want them to appreciate the honesty in who I am,
yeah.
I think.
That's fantastic. Well, Freem, we might cut to one song and then come back and have another song from Leah and finish up.
Excellent.
Hi, welcome back to This Top of Your. That was a little bit of In the Air Tonight by Bertie Blackman, original by Phil Collins. I was in the middle of telling a really funny story about it, but we've come back because Leah's going to play another song and we want to just have a quick chat with the girls. It's time for Dear Dystopical, which is Freem's favourite part of the show.
It is.
Kat and I cringe every time we do this.
No, really. I actually quite like this part of the show because it kind of – I always used to, when I was, you know, young, read the, you know, the agony aunt columns in
– Dolly Doctor.
In whatever. Yeah. And this is just kind of our version of that. But there usually isn't that much agony, to be honest. Like, so our question
– Our question is – Do you want to do it or do you want me
sure.
to do it? Go on.
If I were a young queer, or not queer necessarily, musician trying to make it out in the world, what would I do? You know, where do I start?
Go, Jane. 20 seconds.
All right. Well, first of all, the internet is a great way to get stuff up there. But for your own self, I think stay true to who you are. Don't try and conform. Don't try and be another artist. Don't worry too much about what you are and what you're not.
How do you figure out what your style is?
Well, you know,
that's
you
the journey me. Of music
yeah.
for him.
That's exactly right. Mine keeps changing. I yeah. wish it would stop, actually, and just like settle into itself. But go, I know it could sound corny, just go with your heart, go with what you feel.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Good advice. Leah, 20 seconds.
I reckon listen to as much music as possible. There's so much good music out there and it really, you know, if you're not sure what your genre or style is, you know, it completely influences you. There's so much good music. There's so much good poetry. There's so much good literature out there. And I think just educate yourself. There are libraries and libraries and the internet's full of good songs and great songwriters. So, yeah, listen to good music and it will influence your own.
Are you happy with that, Farina?
I think I am.
I think that was pretty good. They did well in their 20-second
I was really
timer.
Nervous. I thought you were going to actually ask an agony aunt question. Like someone had called up and been like, there's this weird thing in my underwear.
Yes. I don't know.
That was 2 weeks ago on the female orgasm.
We try to keep it relevant and answerable for our guests. All right. So, Leah, what are you playing for us?
Okay. This song's called Miss Jane and it's a reference to Miss Jane and Mr. Squiggle because
I love that show.
I thought it was about me for a minute.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you're here. Yes, because my boyfriend said to me one day that he feels like Miss Jane or Mr. Squiggle dragging me down by the ankle because I'm always going off on my crazy highs. So
you're so cute.
Hi, Cameron. And this, oh, I shouldn't have introduced. Yeah, okay, whoops. You'll see.
Yeah. You say you feel like Miss Jane, dragging me down by my ankle again. You say that I ricochet from the blackest of night to the brightest of day. And oh, oh, it does look wonderful where you go. Oh, oh, it does look wonderful where you go. You say I speak in superlatives, the greatest love, oh, you're the best man I know. He is the sweetest joy and the wildest woe. And I admit it looks pretty good at the height of it. I admit that I wouldn't mind a little taste of it. You say once I simultaneously injected speed and heroin. I fear you feel like that daily, and that kind of crazy is damaging. Cause in the deepest of wells, or when the pain's finally felt, I see you when you don't look so well. Oh, please take your pills. You say you feel like Miss Jane, dragging you down by your ankle again. You say I feel like Miss Jane, dragging you down by your, dragging you down by your ankle again.
That was, good enough that was at laughing funny. In the middle of that, sorry. Well, I've known Leah for a while, and that's a very good song, Leah.
See why my boyfriend doesn't like the song very much. It's been incriminating.
Well, we're going to have to call it a wrap, but thank you guys so much for being on the show. It's actually been really, really lovely to have you both here.
It has.
Talking and playing. Thanks so much for having us.
Yes. Sharing advice, all of it.
For everyone out there, we'll have the girls and our contact information on the Dystopical site on Facebook so that you can get in contact with them if you are interested in having them play a gig or anything, and look out for them in the future. Thank you very much, fantastic. Girls.
Thank you very much.
That's right. And next up, stick around for White Noise with TJ and Keza.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.